You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Many polls have told us what the American public thinks of our government, that it's untrustworthy, beholden to special interests, especially wealthy ones, and incompetent. But what do public officials understand or think about us, especially the many thousands of government decision makers who never face election? Johns Hopkins political scientists Jennifer Bachner and Benjamin Ginsberg surveyed the views of official staffers and employees in various policy-making organizations, and they report their findings in What Washington Gets Wrong, the unelected officials who actually run the government and their misconceptions about the American people. It's published by Prometheus, and I'm very pleased it has brought Benjamin Ginsberg to our show today. Hello.
Hi. Well, I'm delighted to be here because I think this is a very important question. It's one that always troubled me. You know, we have all these surveys of American citizens that usually show that people don't know that much about the government and politics. My favorite one is a survey showing that 22% of all Americans ask to name a Supreme Court justice named Judge Judy. Well, you can understand the confusion. Justice Ginsburg and Judge Judy are both graduates of James Madison High School here in Brooklyn. So they might be the same person. Who knows?
Well, that's the American public's ignorance. But you also write about the ignorance of the people who are serving
us. Well, right. You know, I got very tired of all these polls. And I said to myself, well, what does the government know about us? So we surveyed, I think, 850 government officials and related folks in Washington. Because in Washington, rules and regulations, these are drafted not just by officials, but they do so with the help of various think tankers and quasi-governmental folks. So we thought, let's find out what they think of us.
Are these public officials what are called the bureaucracy?
They are. They're the bureaucracy. They're the executive branch. And they're the people who, for all intents and purposes, actually govern us.
How many of them come in with an administration and then leave with that administration?
Oh,
and how many are permanent?
They're mainly permanent. About 85% are permanent. And you know that everyone's always complaining that congressmen stay in office too long, we need term limits. The average length of service for a member of the House is 8 years. The average length...
That's four elections.
Four elections, the average. Some are defeated. They retire. Actually, being a member of Congress is a tough job. It's not fun. But for these bureaucrats, the average length of service is 24 years. Hmm. So maybe they're the ones who need to be term limited.
I don't know. I've been here for 31 years.
I'm looking at
Didn't the framers of the Constitution introduce some distance between government and the people to prevent a tyranny of the majority?
Well, they did.
Was there a bureaucracy in 1787?
No, there was no bureaucracy. The bureaucracy came later, and for many decades, it was a very tiny thing. Bureaucracy grew during the New Deal and continued to grow. So now there are about 2.5 million federal civil servants, and another 6 or 8 million people who are contractors or quasi-governmental officials who work for all intents and purposes as bureaucrats. We have what's called a blended executive branch.
Do different agencies have different cultures?
Yes.
The IRS different than the National Park Service?
Oh, absolutely. Every agency has a different culture. And if you work for an agency and don't buy into its culture, chances are they'll push you out. You know what they say, there's the right way, the wrong way, and the Navy way. Well, there's also the IRS way, the Treasury Department way, even the Department of Education way, and that's scary.
You argue that the unelected government really runs things.
Yeah, they do.
You are looking at all three branches of the federal government?
I am, because think about this. Congress enacts a handful of statutes every year. Even when Congress is productive, it's a handful of statutes. The bureaucracy produces thousands of rules and regulations every year, 3,000 on average, and these have the force of law. You can go to prison for violating these rules and regulations, and yet people aren't really aware of this as governance. Not only do they write rules and regulations, They send guidance letters. They send official interpretations of the law to private concerns, and you better obey their guidance letters.
And public employees might sometimes be wrong on the facts or have biased views. Where did you find the biggest problems, knowledge or opinion?
Well, there were a number of problems. One is that they didn't really know much about Americans.
But they are Americans.
They are Americans.
They are us, aren't they?
Well, they're a subspecies of us. They live inside the Beltway, where perhaps different forms of radiation strike them and cause mutations. But they only talk to one another. They attend the same social events. And in fact, in our survey, we asked, who do you think knows about various kinds of policies? They didn't think anyone knew anything except members of the bureaucracy. They thought ordinary citizens didn't know anything. They thought members of Congress didn't know anything. They were very dubious about the president. They thought they could only rely on one another to know things.
My guest is Benjamin Ginsberg, who's the David Bernstein Professor of Political Science and Chair of Governmental Studies at Johns Hopkins University. The book we are discussing is What Washington Gets Wrong, which he wrote with Jennifer Bachner. After Congress passes a law and the president signs it, what happens? How much can remain to be spelled out before implementation of policy?
Well, I think everything remains to be spelled out. Very often when Congress passes a law, Congress will state a perspective. The air should be clean, and then turns to the bureaucracy and says, figure out how to do it. So the law may be very short, but rules and regulations, thousands of rules and regulations are then written. And not only are they written that year, they continue to be written year after year after year, decade after decade, until the members of Congress who wrote the law are long gone.
You can see how members of Congress have voted, but how do you gauge the views of unelected, non-voting officials? Couldn't Congress limit what bureaucrats can do or force greater transparency?
Congress could, and it should, but it hasn't to date. The bureaucracy does this on a day-to-day basis. For members of Congress, doing bureaucratic oversight doesn't seem very glamorous. Voters aren't interested in it. It's drudgery, and the bureaucracy is huge.
But isn't there a counter argument, and that is that these people know a lot more about the subject that they're dealing with?
They do know a lot more, just as our doctor hopefully knows more than we do. I mean, I'm hoping. And our attorney knows more than we do. Our accountant knows more than we do, though I'm dubious sometimes. But those individuals have a fiduciary responsibility to us. Their job is to make sure that they do what's best for us and that they explain to us why we should do this rather than that. And if we don't agree with what they do, we can go across the street and get somebody different. When you're talking about federal civil servants, they don't believe they have a fiduciary responsibility. When we asked them, should you pay any attention to public opinion? The answer was an overwhelming no.
The opposite of politicians who are always looking at the polls.
Well, politicians not only look at the polls, they try to manufacture them in order to make things right. But these individuals don't know from polls. They feel they know what to do. They're sheltered from elections, and they grind it out.
Compared with other countries, doesn't the United States already have more oversight of bureaucrats?
It varies from country to country, but I think many of the Western democracies don't have enough oversight of bureaucrats. One reason that so many Brits voted to exit the European Union was because they realized they were being governed by a group of bureaucrats and or felt they were being governed by bureaucrats in Brussels who were accountable to no one. So this isn't simply an American phenomenon. We could conduct this study anywhere and I bet get similar results.
In cases where there's no fiduciary responsibility to consumers in the private sector, haven't we seen some problems? Wall Street, for example?
Of course. Anyone who spends anyone else's money will spend it for themselves, not for the nominal beneficiary. And, what we see here is in our survey, we asked officials their opinions on issues, and we asked citizens their opinions. There was a difference. But then we asked officials what they thought citizens thought. And what we discovered was they thought the difference was even bigger than it really was. And psychologists have a term here. They call it false uniqueness. If I think you're stupid, I can't believe that you would think the same things I do.
Wasn't there a British sitcom, I think it was called Yes Minister, was just about this sort of thing?
It was. It was absolutely on target. And, you know, sometimes comedy hits right on target, and Yes Minister certainly did.
How many of the people you're talking about have to pass a civil service exam? If a public employee is performing poorly, what can managers or agency heads do if they are civil servants?
If they're performing poorly, they try to move them on to another agency.
They can't fire them.
It's not impossible, but it's so difficult that they usually don't try. We say in our book that one of the things we need to do is to increase the number of public officials who are actually subject to political appointment. Right now, that number is small. These are the so-called Schedule C appointees. They're the top levels of the civil service. But Schedule C needs to go further than that. You know, back in the 19th century, this idea of political appointees, it's got a bad name because it was patronage politics. We're not saying go back to Andrew Jackson, but we are saying that the political process is the only discipline on civil servants who don't care what people think, who say, as many do, and I've attended many receptions and cocktail parties in Washington, you know, after a drink, they'll all say the same thing. Well, people don't know that much, and it's up to us to decide what's right. And then if they don't want to do it, we have to push them into it.
And an important notion of your book is civic distance between the people and their government. Can you explain that?
Well, we asked, do our government officials resemble us citizens in terms of income, race, age, any of the demographics you'd want to think about? And
they don't in Congress, that's for sure. But what about in the agencies?
No, absolutely not. They're very different from ordinary Americans. Take race, for example. The civil service is overwhelmingly white. The upper levels of the civil service, overwhelmingly white. And that gives them a certain disconnect. Their life experiences are different. They're quite well-to-do. You know, salaries in the civil service, they always moan and groan about us poor civil servants, but they're paid a lot more than people in the private sector doing the same thing.
A caller wonders whether bureaucrats in Washington are unpaid but still dedicated and kept in their jobs by generous pensions.
The pensions are part of their salary package.
But they're not unpaid.
No, of course they're not. They're very well paid. Their average salaries are about 20% higher than those of people in the private sector doing the same thing.
Some officials work more closely with elected leaders. Does their level of interaction affect the views about the people?
Yes, it does. And this was interesting. The congressional staffers, who are part of politics, you know, they're expected to know what constituents think. They're expected to participate in their boss's election campaigns. The congressional staffers were much more sympathetic to ordinary Americans than the bureaucrats. It was a big difference.
That's because they have to deal with them on a day-to-day basis.
They rub shoulders with them. You know, another thing that we suggest is something the British call rustication. Send people out into the countryside to rub shoulders with ordinary people. The upper levels of the civil service live inside a Washington bubble. Maybe they should live, some should go to Wichita, some should go to, Cut Bank, Montana, where they meet regular, ordinary Americans. A lot of research has shown that municipal officials who work with people on a day-to-day basis develop a kind of understanding and sympathy for them that these folks don't have.
My guest is Benjamin Ginsberg, who's co-author with Jennifer Bachner of a book called What Washington Gets Wrong, The Unelected Officials Who Actually Run the Government and Their Misconceptions About the American People. It's published by Prometheus. We will continue our conversation after we take a little break. Stay with us. We're back with Benjamin Ginsberg, who is at Johns Hopkins, close enough to Washington, but not exactly in Washington. He is the David Bernstein Professor of Political Science and Chair of Governmental Studies at Johns Hopkins University. And he has co-authored with Jennifer Backner a book called What Washington Gets Wrong, The Unelected Officials Who Actually Run the Government and Their Misconceptions About the American People. It is published by Prometheus Books. And you had another title in mind originally?
Well, my original title was What the Government Thinks of the People. And you know, publishers never like my titles. They always reject them. I've had wonderful titles, and they say no. So this was another case.
Public officials are people with their own convictions and possible biases. How are they supposed to deal with their own beliefs?
Well, of course they have their own beliefs, as do members of Congress, as do we all. But these are officials who are governmental officials in a democracy, after all. And in a democracy, we have every reason to expect that the government should pay some attention to our views and try to comport itself in a manner consistent with our needs and wishes and desires. And what we find here is that large numbers of government officials have no idea what we think and don't care.
Mitt Romney talked about 47% of Americans being takers, and John Podesta's hacked emails have revealed that Hillary Clinton contradicted some of her public statements in private talks with Wall Street executives. Do views at the top spread through the bureaucracy?
In both directions. Look, elected officials may also be arrogant and indifferent. But the electoral process puts some pressure on them to pay attention to public opinion. Certainly members of Congress. Members of Congress are elected every 2 years. They're constantly watching the polls. They're talking to constituents. Whatever is in their heart, remember Jimmy Carter used to lust in his heart. Whatever is in their heart, they have to pay attention to public opinion. Our unelected officials, they're there forever. Their average length of term is 24 years, and they don't care what we think.
And you mentioned that they are not really representative of the general public. Why is that? Doesn't the government try to hire with diversity in mind?
No. You know, every government agency has its own culture, bureaucratic culture. It's commonplace. Remember the idea of the right way, the wrong way, and the Navy way? Well, every bureaucracy has its own way. And they look for people who are consistent with that bureaucracy's sense of itself, its mission, its goals. Left to themselves, bureaucracies replicate themselves endlessly. So if you look at a typical government agency, it's white. The employees come from a small number of colleges and universities. And they
Is there a bias inherent in the hiring process?
They would say no, but the answer is yes. They look for people like themselves. They look for upper-middle-class white men, and that's what we've got. This is a bureaucracy that is very white, very drawn from the upper-middle class, very male. It's not representative of the American public. Now, that wouldn't be a problem if they were members of Congress. Congress isn't representative, but they have to get reelected, so they do care what we think. These folks, they're there forever.
There's been a lot of reporting both on beliefs about issues like climate change or immigration. Is it all that surprising that sometimes officials share our beliefs and sometimes they don't?
Well, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But what's important is that they act in accordance with their own beliefs rather than anything that we think. You know, one of the things we did in this study was to look at the thousands of rules and regulations that federal agencies had drafted over a period of several years. And we asked, is the federal regulatory and rulemaking agenda consistent with what people think is important or consistent with what bureaucrats think is important? There was no relationship between rulemaking and what people thought. There was no real relationship between rulemaking and what Congress thought. The bureaucrats marched to their own drummer.
But if bureaucrats say right now that pollution is a serious problem and we have to cut down on that, and the people who are working in the coal mines or the representatives of states like West Virginia disagree, who's wrong?
Well, you know, sometimes the bureaucrats are right. Sometimes Stalin was right, too. But we couldn't count on him to be right all the time. So I would like to...
You're saying the bureaucrats are like Stalin?
I'm saying that some of them...
Like a stop clock, right twice a day?
Right. They can be right, but I think I'd prefer to err on the side of democracy.
Don't liberals often criticize conservatives as ignorant while conservatives criticize liberals as un-American? Did you find any evidence that reflects attitudes like that?
The bureaucracy tends to be much more democratic than the public at large.
You mean a representative of the Democratic
Party? Democratic Party. And does tend to be a bit more liberal, though not much more than the public at large. So, again, the bureaucrats think that the public is filled with, yahoos and rednecks who live in camps in Idaho or something. But the differences aren't as great as bureaucrats think.
Are we only talking about federal government?
Yes, we're talking about the federal
government.
Because
state and local governments can be different. Since the Reagan presidency, haven't there been efforts to bring private sector efficiency to government, even while some debate how efficient the private sector really is?
Well, it was Bill Clinton and Al Gore who began the National Performance Review with the idea of bringing more private sector expertise to government. But you know what? That's about efficiency. That's not about democracy. My concern is less whether bureaucrats behave efficiently. I want to know that they actually care what I think.
Reagan directed the Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs, the OIRA, to consider costs and benefits in evaluating regulation. What effect has that had?
Well, OIRA, the Office of Information and Regulatory...
It's called OIRA?
OIRA.
Mm, OIRA.
Is a powerful presidential weapon. It's a presidential tool, and if the president zeroes in on some area of interest, the president through OIRA can compel the bureaucracy to do things. But the president, de Tocqueville once said, the power of the Roman emperor is great, but its range is limited. The president is powerful, but he considers a very small number of topics. The bureaucracy governs on a day-to-day basis across the breadth of all policy topics.
When did government begin to get so complicated that a PhD was needed to understand it?
It began to get complicated during the 1930s and the Second World War and never got uncomplicated. But
New Deal?
New Deal, yeah. I mean, Roosevelt grew the federal government. Remember the famous alphabet agencies from AAA to WPA. So that's when it began. It ratcheted up further during the Second World War, and it's never diminished, though on paper it looks smaller, because we contract everything out. So in any government office, most of the people will be contractors, and they don't get counted as civil servants.
Was government doing better before Roosevelt did that? I mean, Herbert Hoover, some people think, was one of the worst presidents we've ever had.
Well, my favorite was James Buchanan. when someone mentioned to Buchanan that the nation was falling apart, states were seceding, he said, well, I've taken notice of this and have brought it to the attention of Congress. Maybe they'll do something.
That's why Abraham Lincoln was his successor.
That's why Abraham Lincoln was his successor. The bureaucracy in the United States has never been that good. The American bureaucracy is noted for its inefficiency relative to other bureaucracies in the world. But again, here we're not talking about efficiency. That's a next question. We're talking about democracy.
Haven't some of the cases of outsourcing to contractors led to increased costs?
That's a matter of debate, but I think...
Have you looked at the views of contractors?
Yeah, we have contractors in our sample. They have the same views as the bureaucrats, and, they interchange with them. As to their efficiency, I think many people would say that the contractors work more efficiently because they can be fired. But their views, their attitudes, are similar to those of the officials in the agencies that take them on. Because remember again, right way, wrong way, Navy way. If you want a contract for, say, the Department of Education, which is an agency that has very few employees, it's 90% contractors, you still have to exhibit attitudes that are consistent with those of the agency.
You write that it's, I'm quoting, an unfortunate fact that a fair number of Americans lack sufficient understanding of political and social realities. How should public officials take that into account?
Well, the way that my accountant takes it into account when I'm confused about the tax code, this is a matter...
Yeah, but you do know that Judge Judy is not on the Supreme Court.
I think she should be. I like her decisions.
Well, at least we would have a nine-member court.
We would have a nine-member court, two from James Madison High School in Brooklyn. What could be better? When my accountant says, you don't know what you're talking about, listen, he explains to me what I need to know and says, look, if you do this, this will happen. If you do that, you'll go to jail. So let's think about this. Bureaucrats don't do that.
Doesn't the IRS really help these days?
this is a joke, right?
I've been told that the IRS has been, tax form is the clearest bit of writing that any government agency has produced.
You know, if you call the IRS helpline, you sometimes get bad advice, and they're not held to that advice that they give. They could misadvise you.
So how can an agency culture be changed? Well, is the whole system really messed up?
Yeah, agency culture can be changed first if a larger number of higher-level officials are political appointees brought in by the president and Congress. Second, if bureaucratic officials are rusticated, that is, forced out of the Washington Beltway bubble and made to work in regional and local offices as part of their tour. And third, as a professor, I'm a strong believer in education. And if you look at the curricula of public administration, public policy schools around the country, there is no curriculum that teaches the difference between being a public administrator in a democracy and a public administrator in a dictatorship. It's all kind of the same. The only bureaucratic agency in our country that believes in democratic education, teaching officials about democracy, is the military. Every military officer learns the special duties of an officer in a democratic context. And you know what? Education matters. If people are taught this is how you should behave, just as doctors are taught how you should behave, it becomes part of the culture of the institution.
Are there some specific policy areas, infrastructure, climate protection, et cetera, where a more democratically engaged bureaucracy would produce better results?
I think a more democratically engaged bureaucracy would be less punitive in its posture toward the public. You know, when agencies enact rules and regulations that make little or no sense to people, they tend to violate them. For example, under the Marine Mammals Protection Act, the regulations make it a federal offense to whistle at a whale. So so if you're on one of those
whales... Even a pretty whale?
Well, that would be Trump. We won't go into that. If you're on one of those whale-watching boats, whistling at a whale as it surfaces could be considered a crime. And there's a guy in jail right now for the crime of whistling at a humpback whale. Now... for us ordinary Americans, the idea of that whistling at a whale could be a criminal offense seems rather far-fetched. And the reason that, you know, that people are inclined to blunder into offenses is they make no sense. And because they make no sense, instead of, you know, trying to develop an understanding of why, I'm not sure this one is, it makes any sense at all, the agencies decide to be very punitive. They institute severe sentences for these things.
How much of it is from the top down? Many liberals have been critical of the Obama administration and the Justice Department on drug policy. The president often sounds a lot more amenable to loosening the drug laws. But then, and we've seen similar things with immigration and so many people being deported. Do the orders come from the top, or
well,
is this something that the various bureaucracies are doing on their own?
You know, this is a very interesting question. It's a very complicated question because bureaucracies will work very hard to defend their turf. Take the area of drug policy. Now, most reasonable people would agree that the United States has a totally crazy drug policy.
Well, we're more punitive than
other places.
It's
more punitive. It focuses on supply rather than demand. It's a cockeyed policy in so many ways it would take the entire day to talk about it. But that policy is defended vigorously by a bureaucracy, a set of bureaucracies that have been created to shape and enforce those policies. So all the way from the, you know, drug czar down to the DEA agents, here you have a bureaucracy with a huge budget and a mission that it will defend to the death, however crazy that mission is.
And it's been pointed out that bureaucrats consider their jobs more important if they have more people working for them. So
Sure. It's
almost impossible to get rid of a bureaucracy. They only will grow.
You didn't like my example of Stalin. So.
Well, I was thinking of Gilas at that time. I don't know if you remember Miroslav Gilas.
Sure, I do.
Talked about that
Sure. When
he got into suddenly had a real problem with his boss, Marshal Tito, in
That's
Yugoslavia.
Right.
He tried to get rid of all the bureaucracies because he said communism, so true socialism had been achieved, no need for a bureaucracy. The bureaucrats were furious.
I'll give you a worse example. Chairman Mao, who decided that the country had been overtaken by bureaucrats. Now, Chairman Mao was perhaps more punitive in his endeavors. And Chairman Mao was not above killing a lot of people. He sent them out to the pig farms, and even he couldn't uproot the bureaucracy.
Aren't many public officials hired from the private sector, from companies and from nonprofits, including universities like yours? How might that affect their views of the public?
Some are. And these, for the most part, are the Schedule C employees who are brought in by a new administration. And when they come from the outside, I think that's good. Though I'm always amazed at how many are then captured by the agency. Because, you know, you work with people on a day-to-day basis, you become, compelled to think like they do. We need more folks coming in from the outside on a regular basis, bringing new ideas and new perspectives to government.
Are you at all concerned that your book is just going to add fuel to the fire of the public skepticism?
Well, you know, I'm a committed cynic. And I don't think you can be too cynical.
We need a new party called the Cynical
Party. The Cynical Party, absolutely. Much better than the ones we have now. I was so shocked when the Libertarian candidate couldn't think of the names of any foreign leaders.
What about not knowing what Aleppo is?
I think he was confused. He thought it was some sort of African game animal.
Well, in the case of... the unelected officials, they're at least supposed to know those things, aren't they? Ask questions during their interviews?
They do, and they do know things. But they're so convinced that we don't know things. We know more than they think we do. So I think we should know more. I'm in favor of better civic education for ordinary Americans. What ordinary Americans are taught in school is a bunch of myths usually.
Benjamin Ginsberg and Jennifer Bachner have written What Washington Gets Wrong, The Unelected Officials Who Actually Run the Government and Their Misconceptions About the American People. It is published by Prometheus Books. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Well, it was delightful. Thank you.